Welcome to the Wildly Balanced Podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
This episode of the Wildly Balanced Podcast is sponsored by the How to Hire and Utilize a VA in Your Business Masterclass. Are you ready to hire a VA for your ever-growing business but not sure how? In this in-depth masterclass, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about hiring a VA in your business. What is a VA? Where's the best place to find a VA? Why should you hire a VA? How to outsource with ease? In this 45-minute masterclass, you will walk away with a potent, juicy list of tasks that you can outsource today. How amazing is that? Get this bad boy for only $22. Visit the link in our show notes or go to carlyitaco.podia.com to learn more. That's carlyitaco, C-A-R-L-Y-I-T-A-C-O dot podia, P-O-D-I-A dot com to learn more. Welcome back to the Wildly Balanced Podcast. Today I'm here with a super special guest. We have Laura. She is a creative virtual assistant providing remote support and services for small creative business owners. I'm just going to get this out of the way in the beginning. Laura is actually my VA. So if you work with Carly Tico, you also work with Laura. So welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're currently balancing?
Yeah, I feel like you gave me a good little introduction, but I am a creative virtual assistant. So that is for small creative business owners and creative entrepreneurs. And I just provide remote business support for the tasks that weigh business owners down and the things that people just don't get around to when they're busy running a business. What am I currently balancing? I guess like everyone, work-life balance. That is something that's super important to me and something that's kind of fluctuated throughout my working life. So I'm all about having a really healthy work-life balance, prioritizing life over work, but then still really loving my work as well.
That is so important. I so love that you say that because that's what we stand for here at Wildly Balanced.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is super important because I think so many people focus so much on the work aspect of life, which is super important, but then it can end up with you being not healthy on the other side of things or not living your best life, really.
Totally. And I love that. I don't know if you're expecting this to be like a personal in-depth interview with Laura, but I'm so curious to hear about you and like why you got into virtual assisting, how you found it, all that good stuff. Like, just give us the whole backstory.
Is it in depth into my life? Is it
the title of this episode? In depth into kelp collection.
How did I get into it? Do you know, I had never even heard of a virtual assistant when I started doing it. And it's funny, I was talking about like work life balance, but basically, I was in a job where I was really, really miserable. And I'd sort of ended up in that job that I hadn't really wanted to do anyway. And I'd been there for like 2.5 years. And I had a really bad day at work. I was hanging out with some friends. It was the summer and we were having a barbecue. One of my friends who runs a business was like, why don't you quit your job and be my VA? And I was like, what is a VA? Never heard of it. So she told me about it. And I was like, that is such a good idea. That is the perfect job for me. Absolutely. So I just went home, Googled virtual assistant, read more about it, and kind of just started like that. I started helping her out. And a lot of my friends or people I know are business owners or have like side hustles where they do things. I never really get around to the admin side of stuff. And I don't necessarily love admin, but I'm super organized and I'm super sort of like on it when it comes to like organizing business things. So I kind of was like tuned into the things that they needed and the things that they weren't getting around to. So I kind of just started doing that whilst I was still in my job, realized that there was definitely potential for it. So quit my job within like a month, which is brilliant, and just kind of built it up from there. And it has changed so much from like, because when I first started, it was like, I'll do any kind of admin, I'll do anything that you need basically to help your business. Whereas now I'm like, okay, I know what I'm good at, I know what services people need, I know how I can offer it in the way that I can do it. So it was very much a journey for me as much as it was for my business of learning about being a VA, learning the best way of helping people and learning how I can do it the best as well and what I'm best at.
That's so cool. I love how this casual like comment from your friend like changed your whole life trajectory.
Yeah, literally. And what's really funny is like I don't actually have time to help her out anymore because I've really changed my business model and the kind of things that I was doing for a lot of my friends. I'm now like, you know, so sorry. I don't actually do that anymore. But it was really like a really amazing way to start, definitely, and a really good way of me to start because they were my friends and because they were quite open to me, obviously not necessarily knowing what I was doing so much at the beginning. I mean, I know that some people take like virtual assistant courses and do a lot of training beforehand, whereas I basically
That's me. Training. I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know a couple of other people that have done that, which is probably an easier way of doing it because it was a lot of trial and error for me and a lot of training on the job of like someone. I mean, I remember like some of my first clients that weren't my friends, and that was terrifying, being like, oh, can you do this? And me being like, yeah, of course I can do that. Quickly, YouTube, how do you do this?
Oh my God, I've done that so many times. Like, yeah, I know how to make a funnel. Google what a funnel is.
I've had a very similar thing, but YouTube is just amazing. You can find anything out online. So yeah, you can do it.
I love that. I love that you basically just like threw yourself off the deep end. You're like, yeah, I can VA.
I was like super desperate for something that was going to give me freedom and something that I was in control of and something that would give me flexibility in life as well, because the job that I was in before was quite a structured 9-to-5 and it was really stressful and just not, I didn't really feel like I accomplished anything from it. So I was quite determined to make whatever I decided to do to make it work. Thank God I really enjoy it and it is really working so far. It's really cool.
I love that. I love that so much. How long have you been in business, like as a VA? Like when did you start?
I started in August 2021. So we're like just over a year.
Nice.
Mad. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Hi.
We're filming this.
How long have you been doing it for?
I've been VAing since early 2019 is when I like
did my course. You're old school at this.
I'm a seasoned VA.
Yeah.
And I love that you talked about like your niche is just like creative entrepreneurs and like you're niching down without niching down. Kind of thing, because there's some people that get so into it of like I only help like this one person or like I only do social media management, which I love. Like if that's your style, go for it. But I love that you kind of niche down without niching down.
Yeah, I think like during my journey as a VA, you see so many things online, or I've watched so many like videos, or I've done so many training things, and I remember watching this webinar of like, you need to niche down, and me being like, well, I don't know how to niche down because I actually do quite like helping all these people and I like the services that I'm able to offer. So I don't just want to offer help to people in weddings and things like that. So I think I was a bit overwhelmed with knowing how to niche down, but I knew that I had to somehow because I am very much a creative person. I'm from creative and design background, and I had a corporate client once and they were like a corporate business in London and it just did not work for me. We worked very differently. And I think after that, I just realized, okay, I know I need to work with creative people that are on the same kind of wavelength as me. And I know the kind of services I can offer because I know what I'm skilled at and what I'm good at. So it's niching down in terms of knowing who I am well aligned working with, but not necessarily just being like, I can only do this for this certain type of person.
That's so good. Wow. That's so exciting. And I love how much you speak on like the ebb and flow of business of like trial and error too, because I think that's a huge part of entrepreneurship and VAing that people don't realize is like, it's all trial and error, especially like coming into this world and like first starting your business. It's like figuring out what you like and what you don't like, being able to change it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well is every single week or every single day, to be fair, I something in my business changes or I learn something new. Like it is a constant ebb and flow. And where I was a month ago, where I was 2 months ago is totally different to where I am now and what I'm doing now. I think it's not just a case of like, okay, I know how to be a VA now. This is what I do. It is a constant ebb and flow. And there's always something that changes within it, which is really cool when it keeps it really interesting, which I guess is another thing that I really like about it, because no day is the same. You know, there's constant things that I'm learning, constant things that I'm learning to do better, different processes and doing things. And I think that will always be the way. I don't think it'll ever just get to a stale point where, you know, this is just what I do and that's just going to be my day to day, every day now.
Mm-hmm. It keeps the excitement alive. You're like, ooh, what's today going to look like?
I really like that though. I like the, I like routine. So I'm quite good in terms of like routine with the time that I spend at my desk and that kind of thing. But I also really like being able to like break up my work day and yeah, having a different thing every day, I guess.
Totally. I love that so much. This is so cool. Cause I've worked with you for like, how long has it been? A couple months now?
I don't remember. Summer. I feel like June or July or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while now, which is cool.
Yeah. And I'm getting this like in-depth look at you and your business and I love it. I also love that with the VA world and stuff, like I'm in Canada and you're in the UK. So it's like you can work with people like around the world and it really opens up this like array of clients that you can work with.
Yeah, I mean, that really blows my mind. When I first started, one of my first clients that was like outside my friendship group was in Wales. And I was like, oh, it's so cool. Like I've got a client in Wales. That's really cool. And then I took on another client. And then I took on another client in Scotland. I was like, this is brilliant. You know, I'm just taking over the UK. Because I think when I first started, I don't know why, I kind of felt like I had to focus on clients in my local area. So that was a lot of people that I approached to start with was people, you know, in Cornwall or in the Southwest in the UK. And then I sort of realized like, actually, no, I can work with anyone. So then as my client base kind of grew, I now have clients all over the world, which is really, really crazy. And that, yeah, that does blow my mind a little bit.
That's so cool. Yeah. When I first started, I was like, I need to get Canadian clients. And my first client actually lived in Toronto, which is like across the country. So they're like not local at all, but they're still Canadian. And it was really cool. And then I got my first American client and I was like, oh, I can charge an American. This is great. It's just like this whole other world.
Yeah, it is. It's really weird. And I have two clients in Canada. I obviously have you and I have another client in Canada. And I recently, one of like my recent clients I've just taken on is in Australia. So that's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so fun. You're just taking over the world.
I know. I thought at first it was just Canada and America, but I'm going the other way now as well.
I love that.
That's collective international.
I love it. I love it so much. I know you talked a little bit about your like beginnings as a VA, but did you like see yourself as an entrepreneur when you were younger? Were you like, this is what I want to do when I grow up? Or did you, I know you kind of like fell into it. So how was the first couple like steps into VAing?
I think I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I have business ideas every day and always have like the amount of businesses that I kind of have set up, like the amount of business plans that I've written and things that I've come up with. Like when I was younger, I set up a stall outside my house selling lemonade that my mum had made. And then when I was in Australia backpacking when I was 18, I ran out of money. So I made bracelets and sat on the street, make a bit of money. So I've definitely always had like an entrepreneur spirit. And I still, I don't necessarily think that being a VA is the end of it for me. Like I absolutely love this and what I'm doing now, but it's possible that it could go into something else or that another business could come out of it. So the actual like entrepreneur side of things, I felt fairly comfortable with, I suppose, because I think I've just always really wanted that for myself. I mean, I'm an Aries, so it's kind of in my sign to sort of constantly have that fire and that passion and all the ideas. Don't get me wrong, some of my business ideas have not been great. Thank God I didn't go ahead with them. But luckily this one seems to be working out.
That's so good. Truly an entrepreneur through and through from the beginning.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love how every entrepreneur you meet, it's like, yeah, I started as a lemonade stand and then it kind of progressed from there.
Yeah, I'm sure as well that I used to sell other things. Like I just used to get things from my room and like I'd get my mum to put out this little trestle table outside the house. We lived in the middle of nowhere, like in a village. There was no one. It was like the occasional dog walker walking past. So I don't really know what I expected to achieve with it. But, you know, I knew I wanted to sell stuff.
That's so good. I love that. Amazing. Yeah. I know you kind of started your business like during the pandemic, good times, but have you been able to like take your business anywhere? Because I know freedom was a huge value of yours.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I know you're like a seasoned traveler.
That was a huge pull to the idea of being VA. And actually not something that I even really thought about at first, because I think I was just focused on getting it set up and getting it working. And then once I got into a routine with it, I was like, oh my God, I can do this anywhere. So it just started off like, I don't know, going to Bath or to Bristol or somewhere for the weekend and being able to work there. And then I was like, no, I can literally do this anywhere. So I worked from Barbados for a few weeks at the beginning of the year, which was really cool. And it worked really well actually, because I went with a group of girlfriends and we all were working while we were out there. So it was kind of like a work trip and a holiday. So we'd work in the mornings because that was UK time sort of thing. So we'd wake up really early, work till like 11 or 12 and then have the whole afternoon off and just have fun. That was really cool. And then I've been to Portugal and worked the week as well. It's so easy. I can literally be anywhere and get the same amount of work done. I think as well with having international clients, like yes, I have clients in the UK, but I also have clients who are used to me being in a different time zone. But I don't really, none of my work is necessarily like deadlined as such. So like, yes, there's probably a certain date where it needs to be done by, but it's not like, okay, this needs to be done by 10 a.m. today sort of thing. So it doesn't really matter where I am in the world as long as I'm doing the work, which is really cool. Like that's quite a rare position to be in.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Just setting those expectations and those boundaries, like in the start of like, I will not be getting up at 2 a.m. to like finish this thing my time.
Yes, definitely. That's so good. I think as well, that leads back to like, the kind of clients that I work with and the kind of like services that I offer, because I mentioned previously like the corporate client that I worked with, obviously they were like a corporate business, they had employees and they were very structured of like this needs to be done by, you know, this time and within this set amount of time and that sort of thing. And that didn't necessarily work for me, not because I didn't have the time to do it, but because I have other client work and because I'm quite sort of fluid with the way that I work things, you know, I like time block time out for clients and that sort of thing. It wasn't a great fit with my working model. So I know I have like a section of time, for example, 2 hours to do work for you, and I block that time out. And it might not necessarily be things that are needed at that time, but I know that I've aligned that time to work for you, which I guess is why it works well being able to work anywhere in the world, because no matter where I am, I can still get that done.
That's so cool. That's so exciting. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm like getting inspired by you. I'm like, where can I travel and how can I time block when I go there?
Well, next on my list is a month in Mexico.
When? Tell me everything. Tell our
around
listeners
Christmas
everything.
Christmas time. Yeah, around Christmas time. I haven't decided if I actually want to be there for Christmas or go like literally just after Christmas. Ooh. And then go away for the whole of January. I just hate January.
That's
January
fair.
In the UK is so miserable. I'm not good with winter, so little month
Girl,
away.
I feel that. I currently live in Whistler, which is a ski town, and it's amazing. And the summer's been great, but I don't do winter.
You have fun winter. So where you live, it's actually amazing in the winter. You have like a proper winter. You have snow and you have snow sports. And
we get
whereas here
so much snow.
Here we don't even we don't get proper winter. We just get like a lot of rain, storms, wind. It's just a bit miserable. Because I live by the coast as well, we get so many storms, which is really depressing.
Oh, damn. I feel like one or two storms for the season, like a nice thunderstorm is the best when you haven't had one in a while, but it's like 6 months of it. It's like, can we just have sun, please?
Yeah, definitely. We have a place in Cornwall called Porthleven, and when there are massive storms, it's like a little harbour village. And when there are massive storms, the waves get so big, they like crash over the harbour wall. So everyone goes storm chasing and they go down to Porthleven and like sit and watch. And it's like amazing. And it's very cool to see the sea like that and that sort of thing. But at the beginning of this year, I think it was in February, we had 3 storms in a row in 1 week. We had Storm Eunice, which was like, it was a hurricane basically. I don't know if you guys got that as well.
We get like nothing on the West Coast. It's great. The East Coast got destroyed by Hurricane Irene, I think.
Yeah.
Something with an I. They got destroyed and we had like 25 degree weather. It was great.
Yeah, you're on the nice fair weather coast.
We just get earthquakes. It's fine.
Well, I actually think because where I am in the UK, we basically get the leftovers of the East Coast weather. So when they have like massive hurricanes, that's when we have storms blow in, because we just get like the last bit of it coming across the sea.
Oh, damn. That's going to be interesting.
So Mexico's looking pretty good.
Right? It's funny because I don't know if I've told you this or not. The listeners get an exclusive look, but we're actually moving out of this place in November. We're recording this in October. So we have to be out of this place next month. And Chad wants to stay here in Whistler and like go snowboarding and like, you know, take advantage of the winter sports. And I'm like, I don't really want winter this year. So I might go traveling. And Mexico is actually huge on my list. So maybe I'll see you there.
That's very cool. You could do a bit of both, you know, like I quite like that with winter. I like staying up till Christmas time because I quite like that bit. You like get cozy and you do all nice Christmassy things and like enjoy that bit of winter and then just go away afterward.
Totally. That's the goal, honestly, because I couldn't imagine Christmas without snow. Been in Canada my whole life. You got to have snow on Christmas.
Yeah, it is very weird. I've done a few Christmases away. I remember the first one I did was in Australia and it was so weird. It was amazing. It was really fun. But yeah, it was my first Christmas ever away. And that was really strange.
That's so fair. That's so fair. That's so exciting. Honestly, I hope I see you in Mexico when we go traveling.
Where else is on your list?
Everywhere. I really want to do a Europe tour again. I went there a couple of years ago and just like float around Europe for a while. But I'm like, maybe in the new year, maybe next summer. Because I don't really want to go for the winter.
Yeah, spring, summer, autumn. Perfect.
Yeah.
Probably like spring or autumn.
True. Amazing. I want to bring it back to Viang a little bit here.
Yeah.
Got off on a travel tangent. I love it. Yeah. What was the most important lesson you've learned over your career so far as a virtual assistant?
Goes back to what we were saying before and just being really confident in what I do and who I do it for. I think when you start out, it's very, very easy to kind of end up just kind of saying yes to everything or putting yourself in situations that maybe, you know, aren't really the best for you. So I think I've definitely grown a lot of confidence in the year or so that I've been doing it. And now I'm quite confident in my decisions. I'm confident in what I can do and know who I'm best doing it for. And also being confident with pricing as well. Like that was something I was like really nervous with when I started, because I was like, oh my gosh, like the rate that I charged when I started out was ridiculous. I was never going to make any money off it. But I was like, oh, this is too much. No one will ever pay that. And then I started doing it and I was like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm not earning any money and my time is worth more than that. So that was a huge thing as well. But yeah, just being confident in what I do.
The pricing. Pricing is such a battle when you first start. I remember when I first started too, I was like, only ever in minimum wage jobs until I started virtual assisting. And then I charged like my first rate, which was like low for the industry. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Someone's paying me this much, like an hour. And then I was like, oh, when you're at a normal job, quote, normal job, you get paid to like go to the bathroom and like do other stuff and like take your break. And it's like, I am timing every second of my life and like pausing my timer when I have to go to the bathroom or like pausing it when I run upstairs to get food or something. And it's like, it doesn't add up as much.
That was a huge thing that I realized. I remember like my first few weeks, probably first few months, to be honest. And I'd like look back at my timer and be like, I did a full work day that day. Like, how have I only clocked like 3 or 4 hours? But that's because no one's paying me, you know, for the time that I'm doing my emails. No one's paying me for the time I'm doing my social media or that kind of stuff. That's why you factor all of that into your rate. Because I hadn't really worked that out. So I basically, with the rate that I was charging, when I kind of like panned it out over what that worked out, it's like my hourly rate, it was probably less than minimum wage. So that's been a huge learning curve as well. And I remember looking and like trying to work out what I should price myself. And I knew when I started out, because I didn't feel like I was skilled enough as like a seasoned VA to be able to charge the high rates. So I was sort of looking at what other people were charging, and I was like, oh no, I'm not worth that. No, I definitely, you know, I shouldn't be charging that sort of thing. Whereas now I am confident in what I charge. And to be honest, like I look at other people and think, oh, you know, maybe I could charge more. Like maybe as I grow and as my business grows and I become more skilled in things, then there's definitely the potential to be able to charge more.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I think it's a weird thing too when you get like international clients, because it's like for my international clients, I charge in their currency, which is fun. So it's like the Canadian dollar is less than the American dollar. But like, you know, if you're a Canadian client, I don't have any right now, but like you get the same rate, but in Canadian. So like, so if you're Canadian, you get a little bit of a deal is like how I do it. And I'm like, this is so fun. And then it's like, am I allowed to do that? And it's like, you can literally do whatever you want.
Yeah, that was pretty confusing for me to work out about, because one of the ways I got one of my first international clients was on Upwork. I don't know if you've ever used Upwork.
I have not. I've heard of it, but I haven't used it.
But that is all in US dollars, like everything. So you set your rates in US dollars and your client pays you in US dollars when, like, no matter where you are in the world. So I had to kind of work that out in terms of like exchange rates and stuff. But then also Upwork charge a fee on things, so then it was also like trying to factor that in. So that was like kind of a learning curve in working with international clients. But I think the way that I've decided to do it now is like, this is what my rate is in pounds, and we stick with that, and then whatever that is wherever you are, that's how much it's going to be. Otherwise I think it gets super confusing.
Totally. I love that. It's like, this is it, take it or leave it.
I feel like that's kind of my attitude with how I am as well now. Instead of, I think that was another thing. I think I always used to kind of like negotiate with clients, like, oh yeah, well, I could do this, or I'm sure I can, you know, do that, or I'll be able to do that. And now I'm like, no, this is what I do. This is how much it's going to cost you. And, you know, this is how it's going to work out. And actually that's so much better for me and for my clients, because everything's so much clearer and I don't end up screwing myself over. And then the client doesn't end up disappointed or annoyed about anything.
Mm-hmm. Boundaries and communication is so important. That's still something I'm learning, like 3 years into it, honestly, is like going from this like 9-to-5 job of like minimum wage and being like, I will do anything you ask, you know, you have 8 hours of my time, like I am yours, to like, this is my business and I'm going to run it the way I like, you know. And I'm still struggling with like the, if my clients like ask me to do something, I'm very much like, I will drop everything and I'll do it right now. And it's like, no, I can factor it into my day. You know, and it's like, I can tell you, I can't get to it today. I'll do it tomorrow kind of thing. And that's still something I'm struggling with, of like the people pleasing in me, of like, if I don't do it right now, they're going to be upset. And it's like, they don't care as long as I communicate, you know?
That is a really hard change to kind of shift in your brain, because it goes back to what you were saying about like being used to being an employee and like, okay, you have 8 hours of my time. You want me to do this? Yes, I'll do it now. And that's almost how we're kind of trained to work, or how we're used to working, I suppose. So I 100% I've been guilty of doing that. Like, yes, of course, I'll do that for you now. We're like, oh, absolutely. And then you end up working late, or, you know, working into the evening, or trying to cram things in. I'm still guilty of it. Like, I definitely don't have everything all figured out, but it's learning those boundaries of being like, okay, yeah, I can do that for you. Probably I'll be able to get it done tomorrow, or I've got time another day to do that. And like you said, as long as you communicate that and you're clear about your boundaries and how things work, then no one actually minds. It's more just in your own head, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, I'm still guilty of it too. I posted a podcast, went live today, and I posted at like midnight last night, but I did it. And yeah, you get into this vicious cycle of like over promising and under delivering, and it's not ideal.
No, but the learning process, I think we all learn as we go.
Mm-hmm. I think honestly, there's nothing wrong with like working till midnight too, if you want, because that's something that like, the reason I started a business was freedom. So freedom with my business to be able to like travel with it. And then also freedom from my business to like take time off. So it's like, I'm not super set on like my routine and stuff. Like I like to, you know, start work at the same time every day. But then it's like, if it's sunny out, I'm going to go for a 2-hour walk in the middle of the day. And then when I get back, I'll work at like 9 p.m. or something, you know, just to like kind of catch up with it. And I think that's fine as long as you like have that work-life balance.
Yeah, definitely. That I think when I first started doing it, was really hard for me to grasp because I was so used to just doing 9 to 5, having a lunch break, that kind of thing. So when I first started being, that was basically what I did. And then I was a bit like, well, hang on a minute. No, I can just, what I actually like to do now is sometimes I work really early in the morning. I usually wake up quite early. So I work for like a few hours from like 6 till 9 or whatever. And then I go out, you know, I'll go out for a long walk, or I go out and meet a friend for a coffee, I'll go surfing, I'll do whatever, because I know I've already done a few hours of work and there's no time restraint on things. Or maybe I'll come back, work for a few hours, take the afternoon off, and then work in the evening. It's having that freedom to be able to do it. I think as long as you're healthy with your work-life balance and you're not sort of burning yourself out and working ridiculously long days and then working all weekend as well. And I do try to be really good and not work at all over weekends, which majority of the time I'm quite good at, because I like having two like solid days off, not on the computer, not thinking about work.
Mm-hmm. That was something I struggled with so long in my business, of just like the over promising and then being like, okay, well, I didn't get it to it today, I'll work on the weekend, you know. And then after traveling, I like shifted my business a little bit so that I'm not taking on as many clients and I'm not doing those like time sensitive tasks that I was, which has been really great. And there's times where I like won't open my computer all weekend and I'm like, who is she, who am I? It's so weird.
Yeah, I do think it's something that everyone struggles with, but it is super important. I've got so much better at it. I'm pretty good now at like finishing work whatever time on a Friday. Sometimes I give myself Fridays off as well, which I quite like.
A CEO day.
Yeah, exactly. So I like nice early finish on a Friday, close the computer, and then I might just like jump in, check my emails on a Saturday, you know, maybe do like an hour of sorting something out. But I try to do that in a different environment, like sat where I normally work. So I'll sit in bed and do it, or I'll go sit on the sofa and do it, and that kind of thing. So it doesn't necessarily feel like I'm working, so that I can really relax and like unwind and take that time off.
Oh, I love that. I love that a lot. Something I've been doing too is like taking my email off of my phone, and like I have Slack, like you and I talk through Slack, and so I've taken that off my phone because I'm like, I don't need to be checking it at like midnight when a notification pops up, you know.
That's actually such a good idea. I mean that's where kind of the international client thing comes in, because I'll be like out in the evening, or you know, sat having my dinner watching telly or something like that, and then I've got things popping up of like clients that are still working, or like the other way around.
When they wake up.
yeah. So maybe I'll try that actually. I don't know. It feels like using a bit of control there, but maybe I'll try it, see how I go on.
Yeah, I've been liking it. Do you find it's easier to have like local clients? Because you said you have some that are like in a similar time zone versus like your international ones. Because I posted on like I said, I want to go traveling soon. So I posted on like some digital nomad Facebook groups being like, what do you suggest? Where should I go? Because I was talking to Chad about this, and it's like, there's too many possibilities that it's overwhelming. Because he's like, you can go anywhere. And I'm like, that's the problem, you know? So, and then I got a bunch of comments being like, where do you want to go? Like, do you want to be in the same time zone? Does that matter? And then a bunch of people commenting being like, I like being in completely opposite time zones of my clients, because then they don't bug you during the day, or like they don't contact you.
I think I really like having a mix. I actually don't necessarily think it matters at all what time zone they're in with the kind of work that we do. What I do quite like though is like with you and then my other client in Canada, and then I've worked on in America as well, I really like that I have all day to do like other client work, and then when it comes to like after lunch or the afternoon, I know that you guys are going to be sort of like sitting down, or you'll be like opening your laptop soon sort of thing. So I know that that's the kind of time to focus on your work. So I guess subconsciously it kind of helps me like time block, but I mean it doesn't necessarily matter. I think the only times where it's been irritating is where I'm like, oh, I need to ask you a question right now. But I'm like, oh, it's like 1 a.m. I'm going to be fast asleep. There's nothing I can do. But that doesn't generally happen too often. Like things can generally wait. So I honestly wouldn't let time zones stop you. World is your oyster.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, there's been a couple of times with you and I starting out being like, I need to verify you to get into this email. And it's like very early for me and very late for you. Or like meetings, it's like, well, this is the beginning of my day and the very end of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is the only time that it is a little bit irritating. Yeah, the verification thing was quite funny, like getting all of that set up and being like, okay, you're awake yet? It's time to do it.
That's so good. I love that.
Yeah. Amazing. But you figure out a routine with it, I think. You figure out how it works and you know what time they're going to be around. And the thing is as well, like when you're traveling, I mean, I know you did this when you were in Bali, because that's when I started working with you, and in New Zealand as well. You just get into a different routine with your day. So it means that you can go out all day and then work for a couple of hours in the evening, or like I did in Barbados, just work first thing in the morning and then go out for the rest of the day. You kind of figure it out while you're there, I guess.
Totally. Totally. And I think that really speaks to like the creative entrepreneur that you work with too, kind of thing. Like I had a couple of clients that we have like weekly meetings just to like check in and see. So like all of my clients, we have weekly meetings just because it's what feels good for them. And like the one client that I had like a full team. So the weekly meeting was like at this time and we couldn't move it because it would have to inconvenience like 7 other people kind of thing. And so I had like a midnight meeting every week. And when I went to New Zealand, it was like 4 a.m. And I was like, this sucks. This is manageable, but like, this is a lot, you know? But then like my other clients were more creative with their things and they had smaller teams. So I was like, hey, technically I could meet at like 2 a.m., but like, could we move it? And they're like, oh my God, absolutely. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That just goes back to, like you were saying, the kind of people that you're working with and being able to have that flexibility, I suppose. And like most people are understanding. Yeah. 4 a.m. meeting. I don't think I'd be able to contribute awful. Much to that meeting.
Yeah. I was just there. It was great too, because I got to New Zealand and we were only there for like 4 weeks, I think. So it was like 4 meetings. But the first week we were there, I got COVID from the flight. So I was like, I will not be on the 4 a.m. meeting. Like it's day 3 of COVID. Like, love you guys. See you next week.
Would you like sleep and then set your alarm at like 3:45, wake up for the call and then just go back to bed?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
actually
dedication.
I don't even think I'd go back to bed. I would just like be up because that meeting was like, it was a big team. So it would go for like 2 hours sometimes. Oh. And then Jill and I would record the podcast after. So I was like, I guess I'm up. Would not recommend.
Yeah, I guess with my advice then, with like time zones and traveling and stuff, I think make sure you have the flexibility in place before you go. Definitely reschedule any 4 a.m. meetings or 6 a.m. podcast recordings. Just, yeah, get those things in place.
Yeah. I mean, it was manageable, but would not recommend.
Yeah. I think if it's for a limited time, you can do it a few times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also in Bali, I had a meeting. This one client had a coaching certification. So there was like an intensive. So it was like midnight to 7 a.m. I had to be on a Zoom call. So that was fun.
Wow. 7 hours.
Yep. Just VA things.
Oh my gosh. I don't function past like a certain time. I think I could do like up till midnight. Like the midnight call would be fine. And then up to 1 a.m. I think I'd probably be all right. But after that, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think I'd be able to speak that much.
That's fair. Yeah. The midnight meetings were fine because it was like up till midnight. And then it's usually like, they would usually let me go early because they're like, girl, it's like 1:30. And I was like, okay, bye. Good night. But that one's great because you can just go back to sleep. But then the 4 a.m. ones, it was like, I have to get up for this. Like I can't just be up for hours.
If you were to travel somewhere within your time zone or like roughly within a few hours of it, what options would that give you? Like Central America and South America?
Yeah, I think they're pretty similar, which is great. Yeah. To like, I'm in PST right now, or PT or whatever it is. We had this discussion before we talked. There's too many time zones in Canada. But I think it would be really similar because a lot of my meetings are like I'm in PST. So it's like the earliest kind of thing. And like all of my clients right now are in Eastern time. So they're 3 hours ahead of me. So it's like, if it's my time zone, I can manage. And if it's any closer, then it's also like it's later in the day if I were to go like any farther east. So it works out for me.
But also, like, Europe and Eastern time isn't too bad, is it? Because I think it's only like 5 hours or something, which is fine.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Which is crazy.
You've got like a good kind of radius around that side. So you have got options. Maybe like Bali and New Zealand and all of that side might be a bit too far for it.
Yeah, I thought that Bali would actually be really good because it's like from PST, it's 15 hours difference. And from like Eastern time where all my clients are, it's 12 hours. And I was like, oh yeah, that's perfect. But then it's like their work day is like, would be like 9 to 5 kind of thing. And it's like, well, that's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. my time. So I don't want to work in that time. So we just like constantly missed each other. Whereas like in New Zealand, it was, I think it's 5 hour. It's like 19 hours from Pacific to New Zealand time, which is great because it's just like a day ahead minus 5 hours, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like we could plan meetings like during my day and their day. So it actually worked out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I thought Bali would be like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah. The time zone thing is weird. I have a friend who lives here and I live, and she works for an American company, like Eastern time. I think they're based in New York. And we went out and got some food in the evening once. And we were like sat there having half drinks. And then she was like, oh, gotta get back. We were like, why? Why have you got to get back? Oh, it's just my lunch break. Like, I've got to go back and finish my work day. I'm like, oh God, that is mad.
Oh, dang. That'd be crazy. I mean, I guess if you're a night person, that would work really well.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're more of a morning person.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess it means that she has like majority of her mornings and her days, and then like starts work after lunch, I guess. But yeah, I don't think I could work late every
day. That's
like my cozy evenings.
That's so fair. It all comes back to just boundaries and communication.
Definitely. That's the key to everything. We figured that out.
Amazing. I am so curious to know what your unpopular opinion is, whether that's like VAing or could be traveling, could be time zones. I know we kind of talked a little bit about unpopular opinions.
Maybe my unpopular opinion is that I think everyone should take weekends off and not overwork, especially if you're like a small creative business owner. You know, you just because you love your business and you want your business to succeed,
take time off. You deserve it. I feel like, I think I said this in a previous guest episode, but like the more guest episodes I do, we always ask the unpopular opinion, and it's like the more and more we do them, the more I'm just like, that's not unpopular, that's just a fact. Like, I think I just get guests on that, like, you know, have the same values and as me. So it's like, that's not unpopular. It's just fact.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think as well, it's the kind of thing of like, people know that's true and they know that they should be doing it. But like, I've got so many friends that run businesses and like all my clients that run businesses and stuff. And I know I get emails from them like 11 o'clock at night or like first thing on the morning and the Sunday and that kind of thing. Shouldn't be working right now, like give yourself a little bit of time. And I think as well, like, your business benefits from it if you are able to take a little bit of time away from it and you're able to like set boundaries with it, then you're going to be more inspired and more creative when you actually do it rather than burning yourself out.
Totally. That's so good. I'm kind of guilty of that though. I'll like send messages or like I'll have people message me because my clients are like 3 hours ahead. So they're message me at like 9 a.m. their time, which is like 6 a.m. my time. And they're like, sorry, like don't respond to this yet. And I'm like, girl, I'm not looking at my phone until 9. Like, you're good. Send me as much as you want. Like, I will not check it until I'm at my computer.
Yeah, exactly. That's really good.
Yes. Thank you. This has been such a beautiful recording, beautiful podcast, and I'm so excited that you were here. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me and listening to the in-depth discussion into my life.
Yes, it was so good to get to know this side of you, and I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Something that we always do on our podcast episodes is your permission slip for the week. So I'm going to give you the heads up now that I'm going to ask soon. So start thinking of your permission slip, and then I'll say mine first so that you have some time to stall, because Jill would always just drop it on, even though I knew it was coming every week. She would just drop it on me and I'd be like, but Yeah, my permission slip this week is to travel without the scarcity of time zones, because I love that you spoke to that a bit and like time blocking and all that. And that since going to Bali, like with the time zone difference, it was like, I don't know, I'm kind of like, I have to be in this similar time zone to make it work. But it's like, if I can time block and like, you know, work out those time zones and like communicate better, then
yeah,
I can go anywhere.
Love that. Freedom.
Thank you. Freedom. Yes. Amazing. What is your permission slip?
Permission to remove yourself from business a little bit. So just be like, love your business, put everything into it, but also permission to like be okay about not thinking about it, or be okay about taking a little bit of time off, be okay about not being in the same time zones, just removing yourself a little bit from it. Doesn't mean that you don't care or that you don't want it to succeed, but yourself first a little bit.
Ooh, that's so good. I feel like there's this TikTok sound that went around for a while and it was like, I didn't want to work a 9 to 5. So I started a business and now I work 24 hours.
Yeah, I have seen that. And it is, I mean, it's so true, isn't it? We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you did not start a business to work 24 hours. You started a business for multiple reasons. So just like coming back to those reasons and your values and why you started it.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a good permission slip.
Like, bring you. Yeah, I'm feeling inspired for it. I'll listen to myself now.
Yay. I love that so much. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Where can our listeners find you online? Where can they stalk you?
Find me on Instagram at Help Collective, Pinterest, all the social media channels, and on my website, helpcollective.com.
Amazing. We'll have those all linked in the show notes down below. Check her out on Instagram. Also, if you're on Instagram, check us out, wildly.balanced. We're pretty cool. Laura actually does all of our posts, all of our graphics for the feed. So go show us some love and her some love because it's amazing. And check out our website at wildlybalancedpodcast.com. Amazing. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me.